I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV Podcast 503's After Show. It's the After Show,
where we talk about whatever the heck we want.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's disc golf related. Sometimes it's Taylor Swift related. Those are really the only two subjects. That's all there is in the world.
When T. Swift is topping the charts.
She dropped an album.
Did more than that.
Did she? She dropped an album and a video.
Okay.
Which I watched because it came up in my YouTube feed. Normally I wouldn't care, but it was like right there. I opened up YouTube and amongst all my other like different woodworking and tech and stuff like that, right in the middle. I was like, hey,
just infiltrating your life.
She was like, would you like to watch this video with me and Post Malone? And I'm like, I don't know.
Just like that. And now?
Yes. And that
you're a Swiftie.
And that was 3 minutes of my life.
There you go. What I will lead with, which was brought up by one of our favorite smashies out there, Tim Courts. Because it does feel like it was a much longer time than that ago. Back on Thursday, I had an order for nearly 15,000 ants. No, for 15,000 boxes, cardboard boxes, to deliver ultimately to Ledgestone. Ledgestone, as some of you know, not only do they run their own shop, online store, tournament, all that stuff, they also are a fulfillment house for a lot of Team Discraft players. If you buy a Missy Gannon Ledgestone Thrasher, something or other, Super Series, it's coming. It's also coming out of there. And they're smart, and they use my disc in a box to get your discs.
Everybody should.
Not every order, not every disc, but more often than not, they're using my boxes. And I appreciate their business and support. Well, I brought them 15,000 more. And in doing so, that pretty much fits perfectly within an XL-sized, completely emptied cargo van. Like, I forget the phrasing for them, but one of those big cargo vans. The same ones that... Is it a transit van? The same ones that everybody buys and then turns into a, you know, their travel van. So one of the largest ones they make, you know, the big ceiling, all that stuff. On the way to picking up said boxes, I stop by the rental place and they say, so we don't have what you need, what you rented, what you paid for online. We don't have that. And the reason being, I guess, is worth sharing. Reason being is there's some recall on a bunch of the Ford Transit vans and something about shavings getting into the transmission or something. I don't know. There's some recall going on. I'm such a car guy. Well, so they're not putting them back out on the road right now, currently, and that's a large portion of their fleet. So they said, what we have for you instead is a 26-foot box truck.
Ooh, that's a big one.
I was given like a 15-foot one other time renting from these guys, and that's like, that was a unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
26 feet.
I would be afraid to back up at all.
Yes.
Yeah, just...
Yes, it. I still feel like I should have more training or some other certification rather than just a credit card and insurance in order for them to hand that to me. And I'm happy to report 520 miles later, round trip, I hit nothing.
That you know of.
That I know of. I backed up at one point and I was in a parking lot and I just so happened to stop 6 inches from a major pole. Now, granted, I was backing up super slowly. So had I hit it, I would have probably felt the, you know, a very slow pushback to it.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, the pole was, you know, it was a pole that maybe like holds up like a major billboard or sign. Like it was ginormous.
Oh, geez.
So I couldn't have really run into it hard. I was backing up so slowly as it was. But I just happened to just out of dumb luck stop 6 inches short of hitting that. Otherwise, I hit nothing that I know of, and I filled up a 70-gallon diesel truck. Like, I feel like I earned a little extra rough man card experience and points
here. You stud.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, heavy hauling.
Yeah. OTL?
CDL.
No, I was thinking like over the OTR. I don't even know the phrasing because I'm not a trucker.
No.
Like when you go on the... Yeah, what truckers do. And yes, I don't need a CDL, which, again, surprising. A 26-foot truck. As I said, in other places, I have a heightened sense of respect for everyone that drives vehicles that large or larger. And just be so much more kinder and gentler on the road for some of these people. Because as someone else eloquently pointed out, they said, you're in a 26-foot Enterprise. This is not an ad. Enterprise rental truck. The largest truck for someone with probably the least amount of experience. And they were spot on.
Sure.
Like, think there's thousands of people like me that maybe are just getting that for one weekend, for one move, for, you know, kind of a one or one off scenario. I hope I'm never in a truck that big again, driving one. So, yeah, that's such a great point. Like when you see someone in a semi, of course, you want to be respectful and polite and all these things. They have a license and they've probably gone through dozens or hundreds of hours of training. Not my idiot self.
No, they just tossed you the keys.
They tossed me a key.
See you later there, buddy.
Yeah, this thing, I learned about, I think, air brakes or something. Like it doesn't have a park. Like, you put it in neutral and you press a button, and then that's what keeps you there. I'm like, okay, I hope I don't F this up, because that could be...
Hope I don't roll away.
Yeah, that could be trouble. Some of you are laughing or rolling your eyes, and that's fine, because this is no big deal to you in your life, and I'm not claiming I need a cape or I did anything magical by any means, but it was a new experience, and no one died. And for me...
what was your CB
that
handle?
That was a success. I don't really have one.
Oh, you got it.
When my dad and I occasionally used to talk on some two ways, he'd call me Red Fox, which wasn't a play on Red Fox the actor, but just more of like the red hair.
Yeah, that's most people don't know who Red Fox is, Terry.
Because, correct, because we're of a certain age.
Yeah, even our age, Red Fox, yes, was like, hey, I think I saw him in a rerun.
Exactly. So, no, I didn't have any good trucker handles, but it was a heck of an experience. So, tip of the cap and shout out to everyone else that can handle something. So, anyway, I successfully did drop off the boxes, and maybe more importantly, I got a course walkthrough, like I said, with the PDGA, along with the host staff to see the course and everything getting ready for this weekend. So, yes. All right. I'm going to read. Yes. Race is almost a CDL. Would love to see someone from pre-conference till awards reporting.
Sam is talking about whether or not we have or when will we be big enough to justify a reporter being able to stay the entire event, whether it's from a major network or from even from Ulta World? Because even at right now, Ulta World doesn't send out a specific person. Most of the time, Ulta World does their reporting remotely. And I'm saying most of the time because they do have people on site sometimes. Reporting on, and Charlie, like this weekend, like literally the minute his shift was done, he was on the road and to the airport, because in general he's a new father, so he wants to be home, similar as we heard from Simon. But it's just, there's probably logistics for him flying in and out of the East Coast and New York and whatever he's doing. So how long till we can justify someone that his sole job is to report on the event from start to finish at the event, not just remotely?
From a major news organization?
Yeah, or, well, we can start there.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a while.
Yeah, I'll say, like,
How many major reporters are at the, from start to finish, at the World Championship cornhole? Like, is there a dedicated?
I'm sure there is. Probably, I bet there probably is from some cornhole specific news media. But other than that, I mean, the whole industry, getting into a whole industry rant, the whole industry of online reporting and whatnot is changed. Like, the money in websites and ads, it's declining. And someone like Ulta World to justify that type of cost for somebody for three full days or four or five or whatever that time is, depending on the event, they're probably not making that money up in the articles that will be written, the pictures that will be taken by said reporter. It's probably a little bit different with a major news media. Like, we'll just say your local ABC. I don't think local ABC probably has a person at even a PGA event. They probably have someone come in, do some reporting, talk to some people. Maybe they're there towards the end, but I don't think they're there the whole time. I don't know. I don't know, Sam. Honestly, it's hard.
Well, this is a very naive. I don't think it's naive because I genuinely don't know. When Charlie does, and I guess when in the idea of like reporting and what does a report look like versus, like, I think a podcast have been kind of like a wrap up show. Obviously, I've done some of my wrap up shows at night, which are usually alone. Charlie and Ulta World, that is strictly audio, right? And then is that live?
What are you talking?
So, like, maybe he did it this weekend.
Well, he was in the booth this weekend.
Correct. So, yes. I'm saying, did he then do a live podcast every night?
Not every night. No, they did a reacts at the end of the event, and that was it.
Okay. So, but normally, let's just say
they do that for,
like,
majors.
I think at Worlds. Yeah. Okay. So, like, at a Worlds or this major.
Yeah. I think even at this major, they might only be doing two of them every other night or something.
Okay. And are those done straight live, or are those recorded and then posted?
Straight live. I mean, they're recorded then posted usually, because I think they will throw an ad in there
or clean it up or something. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. So those aren't just a stream of live. Because I guess what I think
they do
is,
I think they do it live. You can listen to it live via like their Discord.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. It's similar to.
And I guess that's where I'm going with this is, I think about ways in which, if I'm working or not, or could I expand and be useful in any other capacity once all of the broadcasting is done? Meaning, would how well received, and I know they're different people and they do probably a much better job, but like, how well received is that? How valuable is that to people to be able to then listen to essentially a live reacts or podcast or whatever right after a broadcast has just ended? And I wonder if that demand is going to increase. And then, to I guess part B to that same question is, does anyone care if it's audio only versus the absolute basic rudimentary elementary terrible producing and graphics I give? You know, like, is there any true added value to that, or are people just,
I don't think anyone
content
cares,
just listening?
I think people are content listening. I think a video is could be useful if you had a couple screenshots of like scoreboards and things like that up.
Because clearly video, like what I do from a video and a YouTube perspective could be a million times easier if I wasn't concerned about any video.
Sure.
If I was just, I'm speaking all selfishly here or personally, if I were just to say, okay, at 8 o'clock on Thursday night after the tournament's done, 8 o'clock Thursday night, I'm going to do an hour and all I'm concerned about is what's on my screen and not necessarily what I'm projecting to the world. That's a million times easier lift than trying to do anything that incorporates any kind of video. And if that's valuable, if some people find that valuable, that's something I would entertain doing just because it's such an easier lift than setting up video and then having things to put on a screen besides my face. Nobody needs that.
Define valuable. If people will listen, but do you find it valuable? What value does it have in for you? Are you trying to build your brand? Are you hoping for sponsors? Are you hoping for commercials? Are you hoping, like, what would be your goal with it in that other than just you got nothing to do at 8 o'clock after the event?
I just don't want to feel alone when I'm getting hammered on some pastry stouts.
I mean, you're never alone, Terry.
Well, no, and in a serious,
would that be live? Would you be broadcasting that live? Because part of that is even with Charlie and those guys, that's somewhat interactions with their chat room.
Okay, and that was my next question.
They will take questions if you know Ryan Pilcher is out there and it says, "Oh, I really thought this was interesting." And they might grab that comment and say, like, "Oh yeah, Ryan, this was interesting." And then they talk about it. So,
and to be fair, it's not like it's a cheat code, but to do an hour of, we'll say, interact, just kind of like our after show, to do an hour of interaction that involves interaction feels like it's more fulfilling and hopefully more entertaining. As opposed to just here's a straight hour of me spewing stuff at you.
Of course.
That's where, like, does a video matter? Does it not? Could it be on a YouTube with just a static image and that does it? But then the interaction in the platform is still there. I don't know. And I'll be the first to admit, I do not know Charlie or any other of our media partners as to how or what they do, because typically when I'm done with doing whatever I'm doing, like, I'm checked out. I don't get off the course, and this, I think everyone could understand this. I don't get off the course of walking a course for 8 hours of FPO and MPO and then run into my hotel and be like, "Yeah, but what did Charlie have to say today?" That's no disrespect to Charlie. It's just simply something I don't feel like I need to do at that point.
And taking it from myself, like, I look at my own perspective. I find the most value in those shows immediately after the event. I'm talking like 5 minutes. That event,
like a post game show,
100%. That event wraps up. You have my attention right there. If I know there's a regular thing, I think they did their, I don't know when they did their wrap up show because Charlie left. He had to fly out. It was late in the night and then 10, 11 o'clock Eastern time. I'd already checked out at that point. Then my interest my interest has waned. If I want a post game show, I literally want, and I've thought about this. I've thought about doing it myself 5 minutes after the event, wraps up. I know Perks and those guys will do one. I would go right over them. I wouldn't,
as an alternative.
Yeah, sure. Just that is when you have my interest, because maybe after the tournament central, then you could maybe bring some people in as well. But I think that for me personally, it would have to be immediately after. And then that's how I would want to consume it. Because again, like I said, you get 15, 20, 25 minutes out of that event. My TV's already off.
Sure.
I probably wandered over and started talking to my family, unfortunately. And, you know, at that point, no thanks. You know, that, I mean, you can listen to the things the day or two later, which is fine.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But as far as like interaction, it's got to be immediate.
From my perspective, the times, and Ryan says that he likes when I do them at some of the rounds of majors. It is a matter of, I'll just use USDGC as a great example. I'm out there working that event for until the last putt drops, so on and so forth. Is it a matter of, do I need a half hour or an hour or 2 hours? We're on the East Coast, so you kind of have an advantage time-wise. But to get over there, to get to the hotel, and then presumably go live, like, how quick is that? And then what am I preparing? Because am I giving you stuff on screen? Or are we just kind of riffing off of, you know, various subjects? I don't know. It's a it's a space I would love to continue to explore. I don't know what the perfect balance is. Hmm. All right. Enough of that. I love chatting with Ryan P on the Reacts as Pilot Sam.
Yeah. Sam Martin. It goes by Pilot Sam.
Oh, okay.
Cause I think he's a pilot.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I like that. Bob Goyke says, and it's Patreon only. That's an interesting. Oh,
that is theirs. Theirs is a Patreon only. You can
see, I like that,
because Patreon only gets you into their Discord, and then that's where they do their recording. So that is a Patreon only exclusive. Obviously, you know, something.
Or maybe a couple days of it. You know, maybe the first day or two is open to everybody, and then the last 2 days that you do at a four round major, those are exclusively mm-hmm. behind your Patreon. There's some ideas there. Ryan says the perfect balance is 2 to 3 stouts. Not if you're having Dragon's Milk triple mash at 18.7.
Then it's only one.
Then yes, you get down to business with one. 18.7% Dragon's Milk triple mash. If you're looking to sponsor me, Dragon's Milk, only during your reserve barrel series, I'm on board. Ray says, I've been tempted to join the Upshot Patreon for the reaction show so I can contribute my hot takes.
But he says he's a Smashbox exclusive personality, which we appreciate him for.
Yes, we do. We thank you so much for that. All right. What else is going on outside, inside or outside of the disc golf world? We see
the Bucks lost tonight. They're 1-1 with the Pacers. Giannis is still.
How'd Reggie Miller shoot? Is he on fire tonight?
He was not. No. Damn it. No, I think he Reggie's was on crutches.
Guy. We're related.
Wow.
Yeah. Reggie Miller. Yeah.
Huh. I gathered that much, Terry. I was a little surprised. Uh-huh. And like, is it by marriage?
You don't see that resemblance anywhere down our family tree. Reggie Miller and me. No,
no,
no. Okay. I'll have to look. I'll have to look where that crossroad was.
Yeah. But no, the Bucks lost. Giannis is not playing. I hope he feels better and he gets in there playing soon. We crushed him the first game. They seem to crush us this game. Just, I would like to see the Bucks make it to the second round, but it's not. Our team is mediocre this year, and it kind of scares me.
Okay, okay, I like that.
But whatever, you know, that's what happens, Ter. Sports ball.
I'm just going to tease it out. There's a Q series event taking place that it looks like I am. My channel is all locked in. Pretty exciting last night working with a couple of guys who are going to take the bull by the horns. They're going to run with it to make the coverage happen, but it will all be on my channel, and I'm going to have some announcements about that. But trying to get some more coverage out there for some of the Q series events, obviously all part of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, and people trying to earn their way onto the tour and earn their cards and so on and so forth. So
I'm excited to see John DeLancey.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. All right. What else do we have going on out there, Johnny?
As in what? As in
anything?
Anything?
I'm going through some of my notes here, and I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that's been standing out. That was a pretty big deal for me to make that that trip and come out alive. That was certainly the highlight for me this last weekend.
Yeah, there's not much going on this weekend. Obviously, with the Champions Cup going on. Actually, I think my family's leaving this weekend. I'm going to be staying here.
Sweet.
Maybe do a little bit of plumbing down here, but also probably watch a lot of Champions Cup.
You are not working in any capacity,
Zero capacity will I be working this event. I will just be sitting, watching maybe some TV and mocking everybody.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Alfred on the board says no hockey talk.
Neither of us
if
really
one
know
one thing hockey. We really don't know anything about. Hockey is on top of that list.
Yeah, that is the top of our list. I've never followed hockey. The closest I've gone to two hockey games this year. They were both my niece's hockey games, and she's 11 or 12.
So, oh, okay.
So
okay.
Those, you know,
so you're pretty much an expert.
Yeah, I'm more or less all over it. I mean, they won both games I went to. So, I mean, I'm just saying that
all that knowledge you brought certainly helped. Clearly, Ray asks, how did the robotics go?
Robotics was actually, it was good. I want to say really good. They ended up out of 75 teams, because there's a bunch of different divisions, they finished in 25th. Now, again, the way the finals worked, the top eight teams got to kind of snake draft two teams to start with them and then an alternate team. Unfortunately, even though I thought my son's team was in 25th, I thought they maybe had a chance. They did not get picked, so they did not end up making the finals. Overall, I thought they were a good team. I was a little surprised they didn't at least get picked for an alternate, but every team has something they're looking for to maybe complement their own team. And they did not get picked, but overall I thought they performed very well. They had a record of 6-4. So they had a winning record, and they averaged, I think it was like 93 points a game. And I know that doesn't say much, when the top teams were averaging about 103 points. So they weren't far off. There were teams clearly that got picked that averaged worse, but again, they were maybe different. My favorite thing was they had, some team, and I forget the name of them, had a robot they built, and they called it the Shackbot. And all it was a robot with a giant, like, metal blocking device. It was just a big rectangle in front, and it had a picture of Shaq on it. And its whole goal was just to get in front of the other teams and stop them from scoring. So I honestly
Have any offense of their own with that?
They could do offense, but they didn't.
Okay.
Their whole goal was just to block. They played defense, and it was hilarious, because every time you hear the announcement, be like, and Shaqbot in the way again, getting blocking that one. So it was a lot of fun to see all these kids do this, the crazy stuff. So exciting. And, just next year will be a whole different game, and it'll be a whole different setup. They'll have to do something different, and yeah, looking forward to it. My son's happy that he now has free time on weekends. He's no longer, for like, since basically November, it's been almost every weekend and three nights a week, maybe sometimes four, at school from 6 to 9 o'clock.
Damn.
And so now he's happy that he doesn't have to go to school so much. So we're going to try to
start a robotics podcast.
Oh, he could. That'd be tough, because during robotics season, he's doing robotics, you know?
All right. I want to give you guys, don't say we didn't warn you. I took a look just now at the 2024 PDGA Pro Masters World Championship. The next wave of registration opens tomorrow. Yes, I'm seeing 10:30 p.m. Eastern. If that's what Eastern Daylight Time.
Well, EST would be Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, so it's so weird to see EDT, which is not Eastern something Daylight we're used Time. To seeing often. Nope. But anyway, 10:30 p.m. Eastern is when registration opens for invitees to choose a non-invited division that they are eligible for. So sometimes people would earn their way into, say, MP, 55, and they would really rather play in MP60 because they're actually of that age, or MP50 or whatever the case might be. That's where you have the opportunity to potentially shift divisions, it sounds like. The other thing, and then on May 1st, registration opens for all Masters age PDGA professional members. Wow, sounds like Johnny V should sign up on the 1st. Seeing, though, and what part of the reason why I bring this up, last time I had looked, which was a few days ago, the AM Masters Worlds side of that week had 124 people overall on the various waiting list of all the different divisions. On the Pro Masters side, there's currently almost 200 spots available in total. Not in every single division. Some of the divisions are full. But for instance, in FP40, for example, there's 28 spots, but 10 of them have been registered for. In MP50, 63 out of 72 spots, so on and so forth. So my point is, there are spots that are open and available in some of the divisions on the pro side, not so much on the AM side from what we're seeing. And then really what I'm the foreshadowing here is, if we get to a point where some of these don't fill, the next question becomes, hey, will some of these scenarios be able to maneuver or shift. That's going to come down to the pool. That's going to come down to the course you were assigned. It's not as easy as just saying, well, hey, there's 100 spots that are going unfilled, so we can just put 100 more AMs out there. Not necessarily. Not if it's not on the course or within the configuration that's been set forth. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. Those are for our master's age peeps, peers of Johnny V and myself. I am hoping to be on the ground doing working in that capacity for that week. But just wanted to throw it out there that that's taking place from a PDJ perspective.
I haven't decided if I'm going to sign up. We'll find out next weekend when I play MP40 event up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I'm going to play Standing Rocks Open, and I'm playing in the MP40 division, not the MA40 where I was hoping to play, but I had to step up because I'm just too high rated, Terry.
Yeah. You and Kristen
a single breaking
glass ceilings.
I think I'm like rated like 921
left and right
or something dumb, and you have to be 920, or maybe I'm 920 exactly. I honestly don't. You realize that you're at a point where you just don't even know your own rating is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've certainly concerned myself with that.
I'm looking around. I'm literally rated 920, and the cutoff is 920.
It'll be your 200th event as well.
Oh yeah, career events, 199. It'll be my 200th event. I didn't know that. So
where was Stat Mando on that one?
Geez, Stat Mando.
What are you even doing with your time, Stat Mando? If you're not giving weekly updates on Johnny V,
that's right.
I just don't know what you.
Schwabi has more wins than events I've played, so that's where it stands. I have signed up for a few events this year. I've got Standing Rocks.
What else is on there? Let me see.
I have the pickle. I signed up for. Where it's playing at the quarry.
Yeah.
Which is all redesigned and I haven't seen. So I only because I haven't seen the new redesign of the quarry. Mm. Normally you're right. And then Northwoods Open. Mm. We're not playing at Northwood. Northwoods Open, I plan on playing as well. So I think there might be one more event if I'm lucky I'll get to sign up for this year. But yeah, it's a little exciting. I was actually out back, baskets out, and I was doing a little bit of practice putting. And by practice putting,
that's all you needed.
I was still hitting putts. I mean,
yeah, gosh. That's what I'm saying.
No, I just, you know, practice putting as in I grabbed a handful of putters, took about 10 steps away from the basket, threw them, walked up, did it again, maybe a third time. And I was like, I'm good. And I walked away. So that's the practice putting. It's
like riding a bike.
It kind of is a little bit, but. It's much, I find it difficult to practice putt when my daughter sits at the window and like literally cheers at every putt, whether it's made or missed. She screams and yells and it's just distracting as you're trying to warm up your next one. And she's like, woo, it's cute. It's awesome. I love it that she's interested in watching me play. It's just like you cannot sit and focus on something when she's screaming and yelling from her window. Even for my failures. Well, she laughs even harder when you miss. Because if you hit the basket and it goes doink, she goes, oh, so close. And I'm just like, yes, I know.
Just need to bring her out to the course.
And wander away and go do something else.
Cheer you on. Yeah. One of the interesting things that I just saw posted, because it definitely will be a topic of conversation this upcoming weekend, is the PDGA or PDGA stats, I should say, on X has posted a list of every MPO player who has birdied hole 12 at the Northwood Black since 2021. It lists.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What is that? 9 players? I'll read the short list quickly. Ricky Wysocki twice, Anthony Barella twice, Double G twice, and then once for Kyle Klein, Mason Ford, Benjamin Page, Ben Callaway, Albert Tom, and Nick Robertson. 12 birdies in 896 attempts. I think that's really the headline. 12 birdies in 890, let's just call it 900, in 900 attempts.
Some might say the par is wrong.
Not if you're Rick or AB.
The par is still wrong. Like that. Those are numbers that should be eagles, probably. Like if it's that few.
Yeah. 1.34.
I would have to see the percentage of pars. Like if the par percentage is like 80%, or which I know it's not.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably closer to like 25.
Yeah, if that's the case, then I feel like it's the wrong par. Now, if it was closer to like 60 or 70% par, then you could say, okay, maybe that is parred right, and it's just a very, very, very difficult birdie. But I believe you're right in that the par is actually relatively low. And so those should probably be the birdies, and the bigger number should probably be a par six. But meh, whatever.
Tim says par six or move up the tee a little. Yeah, there was the main topic of conversation regarding that hole specifically was just the area of the bridge. And if there's if there's to be any relief, obviously at one point you have to throw over where the bridge is and the gully that's down there, or the ditch that's down there, and then where players land, should there be any OB, should there be considered any casual relief at all? Those are all conversation pieces that the PDGA and the staff were trying to work out.
Whatever is going to speed up the round, whatever is going to make it a 45-minute wait for a group.
Yeah, and they
on,
actually,
on good weather.
Around the tee area, just shy of the tee area, there is a relatively large space that looks like it was cleared out with some bushes and trees. It's not part of play. It's off to the side of the tee is what I said.
Did they build a little cabin there with a couple beds?
No, that's what I said. I said
players can
put a patio and put some food out here. I said, not only for the players, but for all the spectators. Like, people are going to be camped out here.
Nah.
People are going to be camped out here for a long time. I'm saying this is an opportunity to have a little snack bar.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
To be put out there. And if they don't do it, I want to do it. I'm gonna go start my pretzel truck.
Oh,
sell pretzels.
With your giant 36-foot truck?
Yeah, I'll just bring it in the back. Just back in the back of my box truck. You know, now that I know how to work a lift gate.
Yeah,
okay, maybe not.
You're more man than me now, Terry.
Never a doubt. All right, let's do a giveaway. I did manage to get a couple more things shipped out to our Patreon people. I also have submitted all of the artwork and waiting on confirmation as to what artwork turnaround is for our Patreon disc.
Woo.
But manufacturers have artwork in hand.
That's great,
which is exciting. And thank you. Thank you is all I'll say to Tim Courts, who's helping out with our Patreon specific discs right now.
So thank you, Tim. Thanks, Tim. All right. Patreon.com/SmashboxTV. You've all heard it before. That's where you can support our show for as little as $1 a month or as much as you want to give. Honestly, if you wanted to give us $100 a month, we would take it. We would happily take it.
We would?
Terry. Yes.
Yeah, we definitely would.
But for as little as $1 a month, you are automatically entered into the Patreon giveaway, or you can go to smashbox.tv/weekly giveaways every single week where I pull those names as well. This week, we have 134 people eligible for our giveaway, Terry. Terry Miller? Number two, back-to-back wins?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's too easy. That was his third Music City win.
You want to do three? So three
music. Or you could say that Chris Dickerson has what? Finished in the top 10 at 100 out of 101 events?
99%.
That's. I was thinking about that stat. And
I think he finished 11th at one or something. I looked it up in StatMando.
I was going to. That's the only thing that bothered me is what's the one? What's the one he didn't do it at?
I mean, we can.
When you have that stat of saying you finish in the top 10 100 out of 101 times. I naturally, the jerk pessimist in you wants to say, well, yeah, but what event was the one he didn't?
Yeah.
Was it an early event in that stretch?
Yeah, they should have, and I forgot that this is actually live. Yeah, so what you do is you go down here, and we can scroll down to Tennessee. There it is. And it'll automatically filter it. So then what we can do is we can sort by place. 11th place, the Volunteer Classic 9, sponsored by Prodigy, October 2014. His average event rating was 975.
Click on that event just out of curiosity as to whom was out in front of him.
Winning, Will Schustrick, Zach Melton,
Joey Lutz.
Yep. Tim Tic Tac Austin, Matt Kreider, Bryce Braden, Nate Wigren?
Wigren, who we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I feel like I should know that name. Aaron Smart, Weston Isaacs, Michael Hoffman, and then Christopher Dickerson.
Wow. Christopher. That was even
Yeah. He was rated only 985 at the time. That was the rating at the time, and there was only 23 people there. So,
ouch. Wow, what an embarrassment.
I don't know how he showed his face in Tennessee ever again. All right, so you want to do three, Terry?
Yes, let's do three.
All right, our first number is 111. Our second number is 110.
Damn.
Are we going to go 109? That would just be
112.
That'd be crazy. I sorted it by first name.
First name.
The number is winner? 116. Wow. A lot of high numbers tonight.
Wow, is this going to be Webb Warren? I'm just thinking of people late in the
116. Let's look. It is it's Theron Hobbs.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And Theron is one of our, yeah.
No.
Am I reading that correctly?
I believe I'll have to double check that, but he might've been the,
just a submission.
No. Yeah. He was a submission on a
weekly submission
on 4/16/24.
We're not calling you cheap, but he got away with one.
He got away with one. Congratulations. I honestly truly like it when someone wins like that, 'cause it does go to, it proves that we do pull in those names every single week.
Otherwise against Patreon's terms of service.
Yeah, I'm not breaking any terms of service. I ain't that
we
way.
Are only by the book here.
We are up and up. You will not catch us doing anything shady.
Never.
We're good at hiding it. That's why you won't catch us.
Yes. So thank you very much for jumping on and going through the due diligence of re-signing up every week.
He does too. I'm looking on there.
Like, it would almost be easier if he just paid the dollar
there. Yeah. He religiously is entering every single week. So
we'll take it.
Yeah. It's great. I should
spread that love around.
Does he do it the same time every single week?
Yeah. Is there some,
nope. Nope, he doesn't. I thought maybe he scripted it or something, but no, it's a different time.
Through all that work,
but good for him.
Okay,
congratulations, Theron.
Oh, I have breaking news! Breaking news! Breaking news!
Oh, what's the breaking news, Terry?
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to share it, but we're going.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
I had reached out earlier to see if I could get any insight as to a cut, which I know is a conversation we
did have. We said that there should be a earlier cut. And if not, we're going to reach out to Nate Heinold.
It sounds like one may happen, and it sounds like it may be weather concerns, which you got to think.
It's going to be slow because of the rain.
It's going to be slow. Like, there may be days we don't even complete a round fully, and then that's going to carry over, and they could potentially carry over. But
and I know you said this
is like a cut is confirmed is unofficially what I'm hearing.
Unofficially, a cut is confirmed. Good. I personally, even if it were supposed to be 68 and sunny
all weekend, you want one regardless.
I want a cut regardless at the majors.
Yeah,
cut the fluff.
Speaking of cutting, that doesn't make any sense, but PDGA is calling for a board of directors, right? Did we talk about that last week, or is that new since last week? Just want to get it out there. This is certainly significant in that if you want to get out there and you want to contribute in some way more than, or in a differently than how you have in the past, you could certainly run for a board of directors position. And on the socials, on the internets, I saw one Drew Gibson say that he's going to put his hat in the ring for running for a board of director spot. So, that is all of note since last week.
Here's what I'll say about.
I'm going to put it in the chat as they are sought for the elections.
About, I have seen in the last 15 years. Multiple different touring pros get on different boards. It never seems to go well. So I don't know. I'm not, again, if Drew has a good platform, by all means, I hope people vote for him. If he aligns with what you believe, I just have had the experience where the touring pros in general that have made the board have, it hasn't been the best experience. So
I would slightly elaborate on that and just say Drew and others have called for, we need touring pro representation on the board. We need it. We need it. We need it.
I disagree with that.
I
won't say I disagree. I'm indifferent. I don't think we do.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, I don't think we need it. Do I think it is great if it could, if they fit the bill and they're qualified? Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
However, just because you're a touring pro, I don't think should be the is enough of a qualifier. And as Johnny was just alluding to, we've seen enough touring pros, popular, well-liked touring professionals get on the board. And I think it's fair to say that most of them have either ended their term early and or have been seemingly ineffective. And if any of them want to argue with us that they were very effective, I would love to give them that platform to hear it. But I think most of them that got there at some point either A, exited early, whether it was on their own volition or not, they exited early. And B, I think a lot of them would provide insight and say, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
It's a lot of politics. It's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of communication. It's not like you can just go and be like, here are my ideas.
Yeah, make them happen. I'm 1060 rated. Well, none of them were, but I'm 1020 plus rated. Here's all my bright ideas.
No,
make them happen. Like that's not how that board or really any board should operate.
And here's what I say about why I don't necessarily think that a touring pro or a pro in general will say, is there's any reason for the PDGA these days? Because I think the touring pro, their main worry or function should be the Disc Golf Pro Tour right now, of which they have representation. They have groups that they're private groups that they're part of that are in direct communication with the pro tour. I don't necessarily think that there's any particular pro, not to say they can't, that you need to be on the DGPT board to get things done with the pro tour. Like if your primary focus is the pro tour and making changes there, the PDGA isn't the place for you. Like the PDGA to me, this board should be about things that involve all the players, your AMs, your masters, your grandmasters. It should be growing the sport. It should be looking to expand in different ways, fundraise, whatever you need to do. If your bright idea is, I know how to get, exposure to the sport, great. If your bright idea is, I know how to get sponsors to the pro tour, good, go to the pro tour. The PDGA doesn't need to be really a part of that, in my opinion. Like, I want people on the PDGA board that are focused on the PDGA and the members at large. And I don't know what his campaign is. I haven't seen anything. I don't know if he's put anything out there yet, other than he say he's going to run. If he comes out with a bunch of stuff that's primarily pro-focused, I'll just forget him. Period. I that doesn't interest me. Like it's not a good use of a board member, in my opinion. Now that your opinion may differ, and I respect your opinion, I would be happy to have a discussion with anybody about why you feel like a pro has a good reason to be on the PDGA board these days. Now, again, when it was the national tour before the DGPT was on board, I think that was a different time and a different subject. We're in a different place now.
Things weren't as channeled and focused back then.
Correct.
The way in which they are now. And now that you're saying there's avenues, there's outlets.
Yes.
There's other people that can take some of what your agenda and run with it.
And again, I'll be interested to see what Drew's platform is and on his ideas. I also want to see hard ideas. I want to see actual concepts. I don't want to hear silly platitudes like, I'm going to get in there and just, grow the sport. Awesome. Like, or I think we, I want hard ideas.
Yeah.
I want you to come in and say, hey, I think we need to do this, this, and this, that these are the avenues we need to attack. Maybe even have a program lined up of what you think would better improve the sport. And those are the type of things that I want to see. I don't want to generalize. That's not just from a pro, that's from any person.
Yeah. And
if Terry ran for the thing and he's like, my job is, you know, what I really want to do is get disc golf in schools. Like, great. Everybody wants that. How do you want to do it? Like, what are your avenues to do that? That is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for details.
Yeah. And does anybody, maybe somebody on the board saw it. I just looked on, he didn't make an actual post on Instagram. That is a post.
I think he did on Twitter.
Maybe that's
what it was. I think it was on
Twitter. Because I was just looking for it. And I would love to read exactly how and what he wrote, because that was something that came in very recently.
It was like 2 or 3 days ago we put
that. Exactly. And I was just going to say, I didn't find it on his Facebook or on his. Okay. He said, I wasn't kidding. If I'm willing to complain, he says in air quotes, or not in air quotes, in actual quotes, sorry, I'm using air quotes, and say, I wish things were different. I want to at least try to be part of that process. No promises, but at least I tried to put my name in the hat.
Yep. And he has a screenshot that says, Hi, Drew. We have received the candidate submission for the PDGA Global Board of Directors. Your application will be reviewed by the nominating committee, in which we'll reach out to you for more information if needed and an interview.
So. And here's where, you know, this kind of speaks to what you were saying. This was all posted on April 18th on his Twitter. He said, so prior to that previous message, he said, I have put in my application to be on the global board. Your vote would be greatly appreciated. If I make it onto the ballot as my focus is on driving the growth and sustainability of our sport, beginning with our governing body at the ground level.
Awesome. That is worthless. That statement right there is worthless.
Well, and
he needs to elaborate.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I want from him. I want more elaboration. Like that particular statement.
And then some people did
generic.
Ask some questions, and so, then he has a, so you can go read. I'm not going to claim this is his official platform statement, clearly, but then some people kind of challenged him looking for, maybe some clarification as to what he was saying there. And so you can go read all that for yourself. It's all out there on his Twitter. As of right now, I'm sure there's going to be something. Obviously, there's going to be interviews. There's going to be things that are going to be more formal that will come. And if I'm not mistaken, I think anyone that runs for the board, there has to be, as of the last year or two.
Yeah, they have to go through a nominating committee, the nominating.
And there also has to be other letters of support, of which I've
written
one for someone in the past, who I'll write one for again, because I know he's just a stand-up gentleman and would make for a great board member, and that's Luke Turnbull out of Australia. Hmm. So, Luke, I got your message. I haven't replied to you. Yes, I'll write you another letter of recommendation. But it's a little more of a deliberate process than it has been in prior years, and that's all been implemented in the last couple of years. So that crossed my desk, and we're sharing. So Drew Gibson has
Go out and do your research on Drew. Take a look at what his ideas are. He might. I haven't, beyond that initial statement, I haven't looked, so I'm not going to make any judgments until I read more into what his ideas are. He could have some phenomenal ideas. Or I could look at him and go like, I don't think so, buddy. I don't know. I'm not making any sort of pro or con against him at this point.
Yeah, no, nor am I. But I mean, if you just skim through this light interaction that he had with a number of people, you can say, I don't make promises I can't keep. I'd have to get in the position for my voice to be heard in the room. I don't have a campaign. I just believe having a sub 50-year-old person who sees the professional side of the game would be valuable to all members. And again, there's a lot of interaction. Go read it all for yourself. If you want to, that's just one spot where it was initially, I think, announced. There's going to be more.
Yeah. This is just an initial
detailed, elaborate stuff. Coming
if he makes it past the nominating committee, they will put his whatever statement and the interview and a platform. It'll all be out there on PDGA Radio and on the website. At that point, you could really dig in more.
Yeah.
So
anyway. Again, we've seen it before, and let's hope that if he gets to that point, if anyone gets to that point, coming from that position of being a professional player and looking for that representation, we just hope that it's fruitful as best as it can be, because it feels like some of the other times it's come up short with some of our other top players.
Agreed. And again, as we said, we were in a different time. There was no
very much so
at the time.
Anyway, real quick, somebody said Trevor Harbolt, who was also on the board, as we know, for a little while. That sparked a reminder for me that I have some Chiang Mai footage that's going to come out.
Oh,
so cool. I'm going to wait for just the right time. Now, it doesn't, if it's not out tomorrow, it sounds like it has to wait till next week. And that's pretty much what's going to happen, because, of course, everybody's going to be watching the major this week. So probably next week. But yeah, Chiang Mai footage. I've got that. Trevor Harbolt featured in that.
Very cool.
So thank you for that unintentional reminder. But that was something that was just getting worked on in the last couple of days. Yeah, and at some point, as Ray says, invite him on Smashbox. We've talked about that in the past, that depending on the quantity of overall candidates, having people on our show for interaction is something that we've welcomed, and it has happened in the past. We just always run the risk of we don't want to have any perceived favoritism, that it's like if we can't have them all, having just a few of them.
And
runs into some challenges, which is where the PDGA has stepped in and has provided, kind of official standardized interviews with all of them. But if we can be of any asset to the process, of course, you know, we're going to be so.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap it up. And thank you guys for joining us tonight. It was a lot of fun. Simon hit on it perfectly as we were closing out our interview with him in the regular show. I feel like he said we barely even talked about his win at Music City, and believe it or not, we love that.
Of course, we touched on it.
Of course, we talked about it to some degree, but our show is not just about what happened specifically.
It's really hard with a personality like Simon too, because you want to ask him so many other things.
Questions. Yes, and he's so much more layered than, you know, what weight was your pixel that you putted with on hole 17? And those are all valuable questions and answers to some people. It's just not usually kind of the angle in which we take. So we're so thankful that Simon was gracious with some time, because we know all of our pros are getting pulled in a million different directions, and it's only going to continue to get more and more hectic from that perspective, from a media perspective. And we're already, I haven't said it in a while, we're already at a standing offer to Kristen anytime she's won. And the last time I had reached out, this was when she won the previous weekend. Her management, which is now we're at that point, her management had said, thank you for the offer. She's just trying to focus on these last couple of events before going back and relaxing in Estonia and maybe another time. So
maybe if
just know the effort and the offer are always there. However, we have to respect that when you win that often, we can't expect to have you every week.
Well, no, but maybe if she wins this week, we can reach back out again and see if she'll.
And even then, she'll be traveling to Estonia, and it's going to be probably chaotic.
Is it after this weekend again she's traveling? Oh, yeah.
She goes home.
Yeah, she goes home after this weekend.
She'll be gone.
So odds are Monday she's probably going to Chicago and flying.
And that's, again, obviously with some assumption that she wins. But
Well, just in general.
Nonetheless.
Yep.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us. If you were new here tonight, thanks for coming along for our silly little ride that we call our Smashbox TV podcast, and subsequently the after show that is part of the podcast as we wrap things up. For Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. That's been episode 503. Enjoy the Champions Cup Major coming to you from Northwood Park in Morton, Illinois this weekend. We'll see you next week. You step inside the Smashbox.